are a little different, so I was waiting to make sure it was my turn. This morning, if you will, turn in your Bibles. And I know this is a familiar passage to most of you. It's Proverbs 31. And we're going to look at verses 10 through 31. The title of our message this morning is The Excellent Wife. Now, men, so we can get this out of the way and that there's no tension, go ahead and turn to your wife right now and say, you're an excellent wife, okay? That way nobody's in trouble. She's not wondering what you're thinking for the next 15 minutes, 20 minutes, so we get that out of the way. But what we do find here, all kidding aside, is a great descriptor of what the Bible says about being an excellent wife. And let's be clear about something. As we talk about the excellent wife today, what we also see is the excellent mom. And that's why I think it's appropriate for a day like today, when we celebrate the mom and what the mom does. And certainly in the church context, we want to pay particular attention to the idea of the godly mother and the importance that that is to the family. And so what we find in this passage is what really has proven to be kind of a bedrock teaching on the way not only the Bible sees the role of the woman, but more particularly the role and the importance of that role within the home as a wife and as a mother. And so as we venture into this today, what my hope is that we all understand the celebration of the godly mother, godly wife, but also the fact that we need to appreciate those in our life. Some of us don't have them anymore. Some of us still have our moms in our lives. But we need to look to what God has used them to do in our own lives and celebrate that. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we come once more and we just pause and we reflect and thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for what was written so long ago and the importance that it still plays out in our lives today. And God, I ask for these next few minutes that you'd help us to put aside anything that would disrupt us, that would rob our attention away from you, and to be able, Father, to focus on your truth that was written just for us. And as we look at Scripture, we understand that it's a message, a personal message from you to all of us today, us even as individuals today. And so today, as we celebrate our moms and the roles of moms and even the moms that are still in our lives, we are thankful, Father, for what you do through them. And we're thankful for the teaching that we see this morning on the importance and the role that moms play in our lives. And I pray this morning that if there's anyone here who's never truly accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, we pray right now that your Spirit would move and work in their life. Help them, God, to see the truth of this Scripture and in a miraculous work of your Spirit, that they would come to understand that really they need to have a relationship with you. And that begins with accepting Christ. And Father, there may be other believers this morning as we look into this passage that experience conviction and just the desire, Father, to reacquaint with you and to make their lives right with you. Father, we give that to you. Ask that you likewise would work in their heart this morning and draw them to you. Father, this morning is not about us. It's really about you and what you want to speak to us, what you want to teach us through your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Listen, we live in a world today that is in chaos in a lot of ways. It really is. And we all understand the terrible situation that many families are in today. You know, we will, in a few weeks, talk about the dads and their part in some of the issues that go on in the families. And today we talk about the mothers. But I think what we all understand is that God has blessed moms with a very unique role. I mean, no question they are. In a lot of ways, and what you'll learn in this passage this morning, is that they are often the glue that God uses to sort of bind the families together. And all of us have different experiences with our mothers. And aside from whatever those experiences may be, we understand that as moms today, God has called us to be excellent in what we do for the Lord. Now, men, don't think that there's no teaching there for you. You've got to make sure that you're in a place to where you're supporting your wife to be the godly mother that God has called her to be. And children, we will find a particular part in this passage where it talks about being a blessing to your moms. And when I read that as a kid, it always was a source of conviction because I always thought to my mind, am I being a blessing to my mother? And to be honest with you, a lot of days I was not. But she still loved me. and your mom still loves you regardless. Let's start reading in verse 10, and as I've said, we'll go down to verse 31. The title of our message comes really from verse 10, and it says this: an excellent wife, who can find her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband, trust in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She's like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it for her from her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good and her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. And she extends her hand to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. Verse 22. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Remind you that purple is always a distinction in Scripture of royalty. And that's essentially what God is saying here. She is equal to the greatest royal or aristocrat figure that you could think of. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates. Now, I'm reminded of a lesson that I learned one time in a seminary class, and a professor went on and on talking about the importance of the city gate. The city gate essentially would be the equivalent of the town center, the town square, as you might think. And it was a place of distinction. It was where the men would gather as the elders of the city, and only those who were regarded with reverence were allowed to sit there. Now look what it says here. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Now make no mistake that his place in the gate in a lot of ways is prepared on the work that his wife does in the home, in managing the affairs of the home. And also understand that that is an important role that she plays. Then verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. Now here's the part for you children. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, look at verse 29, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. You see how that happened? Is now she's able to take a seat of distinction and honor and is known in the gates because of her work and the integrity. Well, I want to go back into this passage and just very quickly. In fact, you could spend a lot of time carving out all of the different aspects and characteristics that it teaches about the godly mother, the godly wife, but I want to just choose four today. And these four are kind of what I would call highlights. In fact, you could see that these are the four kind of groupings. And if you were to look through all of these characteristics that are mentioned in this passage, these are sort of four categories. That might be a better way to put that. And so I want us to walk through these four very quickly this morning and think about the role of the godly wife, the godly woman, the godly mom. And the first one we obviously see here, that is, number one, you'll see it on the screen, she shows strength. All threaded throughout this, we find really the premise that the godly mother, the godly wife, is able to do what she does because of the strength that is given to her. Now, where does that strength come from? Well, hence the word godly. In fact, we understand in the very last part of this passage, it praises the idea that she fears the Lord. Now, perhaps you've heard me talk about this before, but a great concept in the Old Testament is that we must learn to fear the Lord. Now, that's not a fear that's made up of the same kind of fear when you might have of spiders or of heights or something like that. It's really more a fear of reverence, putting God in his proper place, and you being reminded of how important God should be in your life and how much you need Him. And so to fear the Lord is a fear of honor and reverence. And so it's labeling the godly mother, the godly wife, as one who fears the Lord. And so we understand that that strength comes from what God gives her. It's the power of God. We've heard this all through our faith journeys, that we must draw on the strength that God gives us, and the abilities and the talents and the skills and the passions and the desires and the opportunities are all sourced, if you will, on the strength that God provides for us. And that strength is available every single day. And it's not just for moms, it's for all of us. And so when we're in situations where we're wondering how we're going to be able to connect the dots or be able to move through whatever it is that we're facing or make the decision that we need to make, we can draw from this same lesson in those parts of our life that we need to be in tune to the strength that God has for us. And it's something that we must choose to do. And it's something the godly mother, the godly wife, has to choose as well. And I don't think that this is a decision that is made at some point in your life. It's something that really is probably made every single day. And in some mom's cases, probably multiple times during the day. You might be one of those. And as dads and as just people who live life, there are times that you face predicaments. You face obstacles and you begin to say, God, give me the strength. I mean, we understand that that's a prayer, but we understand that's more than just words. That's acknowledging God's presence. It's acknowledging the power and the strength that God has. And the good news, and really a part of celebration, is that that same power is available to us as long as we draw on that. And so a godly mother, godly wife, we see first, really shows the strength. They become a testimony, if you will, of God's power and strength in our daily lives. And you may have had a godly mother in your life, and you think back at the strength that she had to be able to cover all of the responsibilities. This passage gives us a great glimpse of that, and all of the duties and responsibilities that women in the home have, and just in life have. But I go back to say, the role of the woman in Scripture has always been one of importance. So she has strength. Right? And that strength now is taught to her children and is a reminder to her husband. Number two is this, and we see this also conveyed in this passage. Not only does a godly mother or a godly wife show strength, but they also show skill. And again, we go back to what we learn in Scripture about the idea that God gives us the gifts and the talents and the abilities to do what He's called us to do. And we would celebrate the fact that moms feel called to be mothers. They should. It's a godly role. Just like you're called to be whatever it is God has placed you in life to be, then equal-wise, that role of a mother is one that is essentially important. And so they're called to do that. And so because of that, I believe what Scripture teaches is that they're given the skills to be able to accomplish those things. Now let's also be frank and honest. Some moms aren't very godly. Some dads aren't very godly. And they struggle with that. But listen, I do believe that when we begin to get our lives right with the Lord, okay, we put Him in the proper place, then we allow Him to begin to change those things in our lives. And so the point being here is that the skill to be a godly mother or wife is always available. We've just got to choose to pick up those pieces and begin to figure out how they work in our life. You might think of them as tools. Now, some of you know, I've been around here long enough, I'm not much of a carpenter. In fact, I worked one time as a carpenter's assistant. Basically, all that meant was I was a gopher, and I ran around and got all the tools and things, and sometimes they would show me what I needed to do. And there are lots of tools that carpenters use. And even though I know what those tools are, doesn't mean that I have the skill to use those. And sometimes we have to practice using those. I'll be honest with you, I am terrible with a skill saw. I know it says skill saw, but I don't have that skill. And so when I'm cutting like plywood and stuff like that, man, it's just zigzag. And so usually, as most men who don't have that skill, I'll flip it around and use the straight edge for whatever I need. And I hide the bad edge. Some of you men probably understand that. But listen, if I practiced with it more, I probably would begin to develop that skill. If I spent more time with people who knew how to do that to teach me, then I might begin to be able to pick up that skill and learn to use that. That's the same thing when we begin to look at the gifts, the opportunities to be able to hone a skill. It comes through practice. And sometimes we're going to make mistakes. Sometimes it's not going to be perfect, but we understand that God is on His throne. He is sovereign, and He still loves us regardless. And so we develop the skills to be godly people. We really do. And when we think about discipleship and growth and all of the things that come as part of our faith, we understand that those things are accomplished through time. They're accomplished through practice. And so I'll say this to dads as quickly as I'll say this to moms. We learn to be godly moms and dads. We practice about being godly moms and dads. And hopefully, by the time our kids graduate from high school, we might have figured most of it out. But there again, life changes, and now we have adult children that we begin to work with. Leanne and I are experiencing that now. It changes things. But listen, it is a skill, and it's one that God gives us. It's a privilege, and it's one that we must actively put into practice and work into our lives at every opportunity we can. So a godly wife or mom, or as we've said this morning, an excellent wife or mom, shows strength. She has great skill. Number three, you see as well in this passage. You'll see it on the screen, and it's that she displays incredible courage. Now, I think of my own mother when I think of this, and my grandmother, because they were courageous women who chose to stand in the gap and do what needed to be done, even when her own children might not like it. You remember those days? When your mom and dad may have you do something, you were complaining, and it was as if you were just dragging your feet, but yet the courage to run the risk of not being liked. I've always told my children this: you may not love me today, and you may not like me tomorrow, but it doesn't change the fact that I am still your dad. And so I have a responsibility to stand and do what needs to be done. We need, as parents, to be able to be courageous. Sometimes your kids aren't going to like you. Sometimes you got to make choices and decisions that may not be well received by the family. But nonetheless, we have to be courageous. Why is that? Because what we're trying to accomplish is far greater than whatever may be happening that day. And that is, God has given us the privilege, the opportunity to take care of these things that are called children and rear them into being productive, godly adults. And that's no short of a great privilege. I mean, it really is. And it's one that both as dads and moms, we take seriously. And just to be a parent in the world today, you got to be somewhat courageous, don't you? Especially with all of the things that our kids battle with today and being able to stand in the gap. And certainly, we find in this particular passage that the mentions of what this godly woman, this godly wife is able to do, not only within her family, but it also points out her place of influence outside of the family. Do you catch that? Where it talks about her sitting in the gates, her buying and selling product, her having a place of distinction, even in her community. And so a godly mother, certainly, her influence begins to spill outside of her family. But let's be clear, her influence also sometimes is seen through her children, seen through her husband and the things that they accomplish. And so the courage to be, as the Bible describes this morning, is an important thing to strive for. And as we've talked about with skill, it's something that maybe we don't have much of every single day, but God has it, and we must tap into it and understand that He not only is the source of power and skill, as we've said, but He also is our source for courage to be able to face those difficult decisions and those difficult circumstances and be able to stand in the gap even when it may not be popular and stand up for what God has called us to be and do. And that's an important part of what it means to be a godly wife or a godly mom. And then finally, and that is, we find this really threaded throughout, but it really makes the distinction in the end part where it talks about her works will give her praise, and the product of her hands, that is, the outcome of her investments, her work, brings value. And that's the fourth one. She has priceless value. And when we begin to measure up what we hear about in the world about certain actions that people may take in their families and the roughness that some people sometimes have in their relationship with their parents and all of that, listen, if you have a godly mother and a godly father, as we'll add them into it as well, we need to understand the value of that. And the godly wife certainly brings that value. And that value is not seen in wealth or money. And it's not seen in any of the materialistic things that we find in the world today. Her value is seen in her love for the Lord and the impact that she makes on her children and those around her, even in her community. And as we look into this church, we see great examples of excellent wives and moms. No question we do that. Unfortunately, we've had to do some funerals over the last year, and I've read this passage at some of those funerals as a marker of what those ladies were able to accomplish. And so we value that. And listen, the legacy of a godly mother and wife will live on long after her. I mean, it really does. It influences us. I've referenced that with my mom and my grandmother, and many of you see that distinction and that legacy in your life as they've impacted you and as they continue to impact you through the memory of whoever and whatever they've done in your life. It is a priceless value that the godly woman brings into the home. And so the challenge here is this, that we live as a way of supporting those moms in our lives, telling them how much we love them, telling them how much we value them, but not just telling them, showing them those things. And thanking God on a regular basis, maybe even daily, for the value that they bring in your life and the importance that it has in your life. And then as husbands, I think our role is to support, to create the climate maybe for our wives, the mothers of our children, to be able to be who God has called them to be. And when they struggle with that, sometimes we've got to take the responsibility that maybe we're not creating that climate. So I think the challenge here goes far beyond just a challenge maybe to the moms or the wives, but also it applies to all of us. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we again are thankful, God, for just the imagery that comes out in this passage. And I realize it's more than just the role of the woman. It really is a testimony of you working through an individual's life. And all of us fit into that because we are your children, God. And we have been created in your image with purpose and meaning. We hear that. We talk about that all of the time. And Father, we are thankful for the godly women in our lives who are able to be used as tools and instruments, Lord, in the changing and the transforming of us. Those that have prayed for us on a daily basis. Those who encourage and support us when we need that. And sometimes they come in the form of surrogate moms and dads, really. They may not even be biological, but they've stepped into that role in our lives, and you've used them greatly. And so, Father, we are thankful for that. And I pray, Father, that each and every one of us who have children and who have the opportunity to influence others would take the image that we see in this scripture and begin to teach truly what a godly mother looks like. And to encourage our own daughters and children to carry on that legacy and be what God wants them to be. Father, we are thankful for your presence this morning. We don't know what decisions may need to be made. But whatever they are, Father, we want to be diligent and give opportunity for people to give the chance to respond to you. The altar is open as it always is. There may be some who want to come and join this church today. There may be some who want to come and accept Christ. We have those here that would love to talk with them how they can come to know Jesus and know that they know who Christ is in their life. And then there may be others that just need to come and rededicate their life. Whatever it is, Father, we give this time of response to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?